Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
D.L. Moody was a very famous minister and preacher. Named after him is the Moody Bible Institute, and he was in Chicago. And after one of his little meetings one night, someone asked him, said, "How many people received the Lord last night?" And he said, 2.5. They said, "Oh, 2 adults and 1 child. He said, "No, two children and 1 adult. The children have a whole life before them, and the adult only has a few years." Now, I want you to look at these children right now and recognize that the way God's planned it is that children of covenant families will know God, grow in God, discover their purpose, and make a difference. And these are our children. And I know they're scattered throughout here, and I know that some of you are carrying a child inside of you. And we celebrate children because God loves children, and he honors children, and he calls them a gift. So what does the Bible have to say about children? Well, the first thing is that children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5, and then we'll get into the book of Mark. But it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Brian and Becca Scott just had their 4th child. And last week, on Wednesday. And I'm really surprised to see you, Brian, Pastor Brian. You're a better man than me. That's all I can say. And so you had to get the other 3 out of the home. I get it. So your wife is home resting. But he has 4 arrows in his quiver. And I bet you they're quivering too. I mean, that's 4 little children. But it's a gift and it's a reward. Secondly, the Bible says that children are welcome and open to the gospel. Now, Randy just read that scripture that I was going to read. Thanks a lot, brother. Where the children wanted to come and to Jesus and the disciples, let's call them the church. The church is saying, "No, we don't, get away. The master has big business." But the big business of God was the little children. That's the big business. And it's a mind renewal process for some of us who view children differently. But Jesus let them come, and then he blessed them. One of the realities about children is they are so open to the gospel. That was my son Nathan who just introduced me. Thank you. And now I'm going to introduce you. But just kidding. But, it was amazing that now we have 4 grown sons, and one's with the Lord in heaven, but they all respond differently to the Lord and have a different walk and a wonderful walk with the Lord, but it's different for everyone. But for Nathan, he was the firstborn, and firstborn, how many of you are firstborn? You know, you guys, all the professionals here, right? I get it. You're all the excellent go-getters, type A's, and so when you're a firstborn, a lot of times you get a lot more attention. When you're the 4th born, you get a lot of good lucks and hope you do well. And people are asking us, we were in Philadelphia yesterday, they were saying, "Where are your children?" I said, "Oh, they're back at the apartment in New York City. I'm sure they're doing great, you know, like cooking and, you know, they're 4, but certainly someone was with them." But, you know, Nathan, I came home from a business trip, and he was 2.5 going on 3, and he informed me that the day before I got home, he said yesterday, he informed me that Jesus came into his heart. And that was like 2.5 going on 3, and I'm like, "Really?" And, you know, with children, sometimes you just don't quite know. And he said, "Yeah, here's what he said, classic words, true words, I'll never forget. He said, 'Jesus busted into my heart and got stuck.'" That was the way he put it. And so then a few years later, I'm not exactly sure how old, I had the pleasure of baptizing him in our swimming pool in the church setting. You can go ahead and put that up. Here he is. Do you see the resemblance there? You know, what a gift. And, you know, the reality is that Jesus did get stuck in his heart. Here he is here now. He's on staff with us as a pastor, and he's the pastor of our night service. We have a night service that meets at 7 o'clock every Sunday night in Union Square at 111 East 15th Street. And by God's grace, we'll be able to continue to meet there. So isn't that family right there? I know that he and I never dreamed that one day that we would be working together. I probably wanted that, but I never allowed my desires to influence my children and what it was that they wanted to do, what they felt God called them to do. Our youngest son is in the music industry in Nashville, and our other son, Christian, is in Denver, and Boulder actually works in Denver in a startup company. He was on a contract with Google for many years, and now he's in a startup company. So God is good. Our children are open to the gospel. And Jesus said, let them come. He said, let them come. When my children wanted to be baptized, here's what I did. I asked them, I sat down and said, now, next Sunday, do you want to be baptized or would you rather go to the zoo and see all of your favorite animals? And I think one of them, I said, would you rather go to Disneyland? And if they said the zoo or Disneyland, I would say, you know, you're not quite ready to be baptized yet. That's okay. We're not in a hurry. But if they said, I'd rather be baptized than go to Disney or the zoo, praise God. I knew Jesus had another disciple. And God intends for our children to start walking with him at a young age. I mean, my only regret in being a Christian is I waited until I was 18 to be a follower of Jesus. I tell you, from age 12 to 18, a lot of damage and a lot of sin was done. But that's okay. God redeems and God restores and God gives grace and mercy to all of us. So that's the second thing the Bible talks about. The third thing is that Jesus received the children. In Mark 9, verse 37, he made a point. And all this is, he said, whoever receives a child like this in my name receives me. And does not just receive me, but my Father who sent me. Jesus is saying, when you receive children, you're touching the heart of God the Father, the heart of Jesus the Son. Children are valuable to God. Yes, they're difficult. Yes, there are challenges. Man, moms and dads, don't we love our children the most when we go in and look over the crib at night and we see them and our hearts just melt? Look at these beautiful little angels. And don't we struggle the most when they get up in the morning and they go at it all day long and, you know, and the toilet paper sometimes gets stretched from the bathroom all the way around the living room. And, I mean, it's just crazy some of the things that happen. But children are to be received. Is that funny? Do you think that's funny? No. This is Kaz's son right here. How's it going, buddy?
Hello.
Perfect. It's great. Fourthly, children, the Bible talks about children being led by God and receptive to the Holy Spirit. And this is what we were talking about last Sunday here. We were in the passages of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and Jesus feeding the 4,000. And in both stories, in Jesus feeding the 5,000, he had 12 baskets left over. And in that story, it was a child who walked up with his lunchbox, so to speak, and he offered his couple of loaves and his two or three little tuna fishies, and he gave them to Jesus. A child was used by God to give up his lunch. Now, I can't help but secretly wonder, in the 5,000, you would think that at least three or four grown people had a little knapsack with some power bars or something in there, right? Did they offer them? No, they didn't. But did the child come up and freely give his lunch? Come on, my man. Yeah, that's right. You get an extra toy today for your goodness and your correct answers. Now, in the story of the 4,000, there were 7 baskets left over. And 12, that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 plus, that was done in a Jewish community with Jewish people. And the Greek word there for basket was the kosher Jewish basket. Now, the 12 represents the 12 tribes, the 12 disciples. But then in the 7, the Greek word for that basket was a big hamper basket. And that's what the Gentiles used to collect their bread. And it was in the area of the Decapolis in the 10 cities where Jesus healed the demoniac man. And it was there that Jesus was saying, these 7 baskets represent Deuteronomy 7:1, the 7 Gentile nations, which was all the Gentile nations. And Jesus was saying the Gentile basket, the Gentile nations, and the 7 represents the disciples are going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right now, children, this is one of the weird preacher facts, all right? This is studies that I read. Children are more receptive to the gospel than any other age group, and that particular age group is age 4 to 14. Years ago, we had the 10-20 window discovery that all of the unreached people groups of the world are in the geographic of the 10-40 window on the map, and that's where 95% of the unreached people groups of the world are. Years later, this same group that became quite famous for that study, they did a demographic study and came to the conclusion that children all over the world are receptive to the gospel in the age of 4 to 14 and are preaching the gospel. And what is the address for our little theater that we use for multiple different purposes? What is our address? But 414 West 51st Street. And to the glory of God, many children and through the youth, the Urban Saints and Ilza's leadership, many youth have been baptized in that place. Glory to God. This city is going to see a revival with young people. Young people. Younger is better. And we're not here to babysit. We're here to make disciples of Jesus Christ in our home and in the church. Because there are many homes that don't teach the gospel, like my home that I grew up in. But our homes today, we love the gospel. We teach the gospel. Here's one of our favorite books right here that we'll certainly let you know more about. And that is the Jesus Storybook Bible by one of Lynette's dear friends. She's been friends with this woman for 20 years, I believe, Sally Lloyd-Jones. And this book, you can get it on Amazon for like $8. It's sold, more than 2 million copies have been sold of this. This is a great book. And the reason I'm holding this up is every parent will love this book and love to read it to your children. And more importantly, your children will ask you on a daily basis, if they're like mine, to read a story, at least one story. Everything from Joseph and Moses and David, they love the Goliath story. Don't we love the Goliath story? Are you finally ready to say amen? No. Come out of her. All right. So, the final thing that I want to mention is Jesus also warned for people who would try to hurt children. And he talked about how bad that was. In the Gospel of Mark 9:42, he said, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him if, with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. Whoa. This was like the ultimate worst death in this particular tradition, to not be buried properly in the ground, but to just be cast into the sea. So there's a warning here too. So these were the scriptures through the Gospel of Mark, actually, and except for the Psalm 127. But this is our heartbeat for children. And this is why we include the family of God. This is a part of discipleship. Is so often God will assign us to people who are younger than us. Most of my best friends are younger than me. I have 2 who are older than me, and all the others are younger than me. And this is something that we will do sometimes. Is we'll be assigned to children, to youth, to younger people. When I say I have younger friends, they're usually in their 30s or something like that. It's a joy to pour into the next generation. And I look at these children, and they give me a lot of hope. And I believe that God will use this church family to reach a lot more children. And I'm going to pray now, and And we're going to just pray for all of us. And I'll tell you one thing that I, for some reason, I'm just prompted right now. But if you're here and you've been trying to have children, we know some of you are. We are praying for you. And we are believing God that God is going to give you the fruit of your womb as well. That's going to happen. And it's a real gift. It's a real miracle. And I know that Lynette had her own challenges, and we ended up adopting, as you know our story, but she had her challenges. And through that, those years of her pain and prayers and tears, God has now given her the gift of praying for people who miraculously get pregnant or end up adopting, but having the children, having the desire of their hearts. So until you have your own children, here's my challenge. Have spiritual children and have a lot of them. And walk with us and be a connect group leader. Go through the growth track. Get involved. Get engaged. God said through Paul to Timothy, don't let anyone look down upon you because of your age. Teenagers become radical disciples. Yes, they make mistakes. I know I made a ton of mistakes when I was newly born again and in the family of God. I remember one time I went to a church service and I didn't like it at all. I was really quite angry at how some people were treating the pastor. And I went up to the front at the end of the service and I took the microphone and I rebuked everybody. You know, I was so embarrassing looking back on that. But that's how crazy I was. And several of the people came up and they hugged me and they not only forgave me in their heart, but they said, we see fire in you and we want to help you. And I got my first financial partners out of that big blow-up mistake. People supported me, and I never asked for it, but they began to give me hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to go preach Jesus somewhere else. Your mama will explain what's funny about that when you go home, okay? But it involves a lot of candy, all right? Okay, yeah, see, now you get it. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We just pray for this congregation and very thankful, Lord. Open the womb of this congregation. Let us be fruitful with young people and youth and college students. And, Lord, we just praise you, Jesus, for our children here. They are blessed. We call them blessed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that they're going to lead, even some of the children here are going to lead their parents to you or back to you. And we bless them, and we thank you, God, for everyone in Jesus' name.
I want to continue that prayer right now. Let's just all agree together. The Lord's blessing is to make us fruitful and multiply. If you're believing for maybe someone in your family that's really standing for pregnancy or you are, I just want to pray a special miracle prayer right now. God, in the name of Jesus, as you have done so often in the last few years, we just come together in agreement, Lord. Your word says to us that if two of you agree as touching anything, that it will be done for them. And now, with great confidence, we approach your throne and we declare that these families will be fruitful and multiply. There may be some even that you've been, you thought perhaps your family was over, but you've found yourself desiring more children. Lord, I just say yes and amen to that desire. I pray that provision will come. It is a challenge to raise children in the city. I pray for financial increase to come. I pray for school options to come forth. But most of all, God, I pray for wombs to be fruitful and multiply. Lord, where even the doctors, a diagnosis was negative. God, we know who the great physician is. And we look to you today, God, to make us fruitful and multiply. God, these children born at the perfect time in history for your name's sake and for your kingdom to advance, we come into agreement. We declare it now. We're going to have many, many stories of surprise pregnancies and surprise miracles because you are faithful always. And we trust you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.